I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics' viral tubing mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS. .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Christina.
And you're listening to Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist. This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
Yes.
And you might hear a new voice. I'm sure that threw everybody off not to hear Madigan at the top. Madigan, unfortunately, is sick today. She's lost her voice, so she's lost her ability to podcast for you all today. So I am joined by my dear friend and podcast co-host of My Worst Date, Christina Connor. Christina, hi!
Hi! Thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun the last time I did it with Madigan, so I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, and I love talking to you. I love ranting to you.
Oh, you and I can
news.
We can take each other to a whole nother level.
I know it's true. So we recorded last for our news episode on Wednesday. We usually record on Thursdays for our Friday episode, but I had a conflict last week. So unfortunately, that means that we missed like the biggest news of the century, I guess.
It was huge. Like I actually texted you.
You did
that morning when the news came out that she was sick.
You were on top of it.
I was on top of it. Now, I have no idea why it affected me as much. And I think it's because I grew up, I was young enough to remember like Princess Diana and also having crushes on Prince William. And it was just like this really big time in the States for like everyone to have kind of this fascination with the royal family, you know, and it feels icky because as somebody that's, you know, come up in the world and it's just like, you know, colonization and all of that.
Keep
like,
the rich,
yes, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there is still that, I don't know, that little girl inside that's like fairy tale or whatever.
Yeah, it is so a weird thing that's at conflict. I really do feel like if you were a child of the 90s, the royal culture in the United States was huge and also weird.
Yeah.
And then I feel like it had a resurgence with The Crown.
Yes.
Even though The Crown doesn't always portray Elizabeth as like the most, I mean, obviously she's not a warm and fuzzy character on that show. I feel like
it's still a positive portrayal.
It is.
Yeah.
And so I understood it. For me, I wasn't sad or anything, but I was like, oh yeah, I mean, like, how weird. She's like an institution.
Correct. That's, you know, the other thing, that it's just something that you're just used to. And whatever the case may be, it's still going to be something completely different now.
Right. It's Charles now, which I think...
Charles in charge.
Yes. Oh, no.
King Chuck.
Oh, no. Oh, God. I really do feel like that's probably like the hardest pill to swallow, is that like, I actually don't care. And we're about to get into it in a minute about, you know, I don't really care that Queen Elizabeth died. She was 96. You know, all the colonization, we're going to talk about people's reactions to that and how the internet has really responded to all of that and everything else. But I do think that I was just expecting her to hang on. I was just in my head. I was like, she's not going to let Charles take over.
Yeah. Like, I was really surprised. I expected her to be like over 100. Like, I don't know why. She just seemed... like, she
sheer
was just
force
gonna
of
be,
will, exactly. Especially watching The Crown. I'm like, she's not gonna let that sniveling fucking guy become king. No way.
No, and it is. I would have to say it's tough having watched The Crown and having grown up with the Princess Diana saga. It's really difficult to not be really mad about.
Yeah.
King mm-hmm. Charles, you know,
he's and just Queen Consort Camilla.
Yes. You know, I'm like, at one point we've had text messages from this motherfucker begging to be a tampon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's audio.
Yeah.
Have you heard the audio?
Oh, yeah.
It's so they weren't texts because there wasn't texting back then. But, right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a lot. But the internet did come fast and hard for the entire monarchy's throat. Rightfully so. I mean, of course, anytime anybody dies, if you are a human being with any empathy, you can feel for that person's family.
Right.
You know, even if she's 96 and the monarch to the British Empire, you can still have that degree of empathy for somebody having died and what their family is going through. I mean, I'm watching the videos of Prince Harry. It's his birthday today, the day we're recording, I think, or yesterday. And it's sad to watch him grapple with like losing his grandma. Of course, that's your grandma.
Right. Exactly. At the end of the day, yes, she's also the Queen of England, but
that's Grams.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, that's kind of hard, but I definitely like am watching to see what countries have these trigger laws or these votes coming up that like they were waiting on this moment to say, okay, that's enough. Like out of, I don't know, respect for her or something. Like a lot of people didn't like the monarchy, but at least I guess had respect for her longevity to not
push back with her.
Exactly. You know. Until now they're like, okay, but enough's enough.
Yeah.
And we don't want to do this anymore.
No, truly. Queen Elizabeth was the longest reigning queen in British history. She reigned for 70 years. The only one who got close was Queen Victoria, who reigned for like 60 something years.
Mm-hmm.
So while a lot of the Western world specifically, like we've already said, especially like America, who has this very weird relationship with the royals. And then, of course, there are royalists and like monarch apologists all throughout Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of people who took this opportunity to shine a light on the horrors of colonization. And there was one thing in particular that kind of stood out to me. And that was pretty much as soon as Queen Elizabeth died, the Koh i Noor diamond started trending. So
oh,
Koh i Noor,
yeah, the one that's in the crown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this diamond was obtained. That's the language that
they
use.
That's the nicest word mm-hmm. to say, I
yes.
guess.
Plundered, stolen from India during Queen Victoria's rule and put as the center stone in a crown that has been worn by generations of British queens and now will sit atop the head of Camilla.
Ooh.
Ooh. Hard pill to swallow. So a lot of people have been calling for the monarchy to attempt to make amends. And like the first step, they're like, how about you give us that diamond back? Give us that diamond back. And they're like, oh, no,
no,
we don't want to. So despite the fact that a lot of royalists and Tucker Carlson, who went on some kind of weird unhinged rant about this. Yeah. About just like nobody having any respect anymore and arguing that the Brits were like benevolent colonizers.
Oh, you know, you don't like to hear that.
No.
That's some like weird antebellum shit.
It's like really weird. Yeah. It's just like, listen, yes, they completely like dominated your culture and, you know, committed cultural genocide in a lot of places, but they were nice about it. And, you know, they're basically saying that their brand of imperialism wasn't about plunder. It was about uplifting and civilizing colonized populations.
Wow.
Horrible. Recent calculations have concluded that in addition to the horrific violence, dispossession, and prejudice that the people of India faced under British occupation, they also faced significant economic exploitation, with Britain having drained a total of nearly $45 trillion from India during the period of 1765 to 1938. And so a lot of people rightfully see the fact that they are still wearing this diamond as a symbol of like a trophy that they've taken from.
Yeah, it's throwing it in the face, you know. Mm-hmm. It's yeah.
Right. And while Queen Elizabeth II wasn't, you know, it's not like she was the sole person who committed all of these atrocities. When she was born, the British Empire ruled over 412 million people, about one fourth of the world's population. Historians confirm that British colonization was riddled with abuse, inequalities, racism, violence, and extreme drain of wealth in the countries that they colonized. And even though she wasn't alive during its peak, she has been accused of turning a blind eye to its many crimes, including slave trade and Operation Legacy, which took place in the 1950s and 70s, under which Queen Elizabeth's government and MI5 hid, burnt, and dumped tens of thousands of crucial files from ex-colonies. So, wow. Like, anything that was, like, that made the crown look bad,
yeah,
got rid of. So, in the meantime, a week later, the Queen's funeral events are well underway, and protesters are being arrested for making suggestions that the monarchy should be abolished. A woman in Edinburgh holding a sign reading, "Fuck imperialism, abolish the monarchy," was charged with breach of the peace. Another 22-year-old man was arrested for heckling Prince Andrew.
Ugh.
I'm like, is that that's the hill you want to die on?
Really?
And calling him a sick old man during a procession march, and he was also charged with breach of the peace. So there's also been a lot of outrage over the fact that it's really disrupting the lives of people who are currently living in Britain, because on her funeral day, all of this shit is getting closed.
Like everything.
Food banks are closed.
The stock market.
Yes.
Like everything. It's going to be a huge hit for the economy.
Yeah. And they're already, so with inflation at nearly 10%, Britain is currently in a cost of living crisis. Mm-hmm. So people are furious that food banks are being closed and Parliament is being shut down for 4 weeks while the Queen's funeral, which is likely to cost tens of millions of pounds, mm-hmm. will be paid for by British taxpayers, though the royal family's fortune is estimated at $28 billion.
Oh, and he doesn't have to pay tax on it.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yes,
that's
I did.
A big, mm-hmm. big thing. So all that money that he's inheriting, he didn't have to pay any taxes on.
No inheritance tax for the royals. Him.
Yeah,
that's it's truly horrifying.
I've heard a lot of things too, or I've seen stories of people already saying like how they're calling him very fussy.
Oh yeah,
and he's like apparently just fucking terrible to his staff.
Yeah, have you seen the videos with the pen?
With the pen?
Yes. Yeah, and I was like, oh God, Camilla's like response to it, that is a woman who has put up with this behavior for so long. She's like, it's fine, I'll deal with it. Like she just like takes the pen. She's like, I've got it. It's fine, Charles, it's fine. Like calm down, it's a pen.
It's not gonna be there. I mean, listen, like there's so many crises that we're dealing with like as a world right now that this pomp and circumstance doesn't do anything to actually uplift or help anybody. You know, a royal wedding is not going to pay like the rent in London right now.
Yeah.
You know,
or the funeral.
It's just, it's too much. You can't, you know, the monarchy has been used a lot in modern times as I feel like this uplifting national pride kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Yes, I think so.
But with things so bad, and I mean, Liz Truss, I mean she is so weird. And like Margaret Thatcher, like reborn, revisited. It's just, I don't know. I'm troubled for our UK friends.
Yeah, I don't think people are going to take this transition well. People did not like Charles already. And mm-hmm. Camilla was, you know, of course, extremely hated when Diana was alive. And there have been people who have come around on her. I think that her approval rating was actually higher than Charles's a couple of years ago. So yeah. People are coming around on Camilla, but still it's like, look, man, the monarchy was, I feel like, hanging by a thread as it was. I think that people felt endeared towards Queen Elizabeth II, and that's kind of what kept people hanging on. But you have people on the verge of crisis, and they're seeing all of this opulence and this extreme wealth, and they're also seeing their day-to-day lives being disrupted in real ways. Like, I've seen so many stories being shared about how, like, I need this surgery. I finally got approved for this surgery. It's scheduled for the day of the funeral. Now I can't get it until December, right?
Oh,
like things
goodness.
Like that. That yeah. It's just like everything is being kind of pushed back, and it's going to create. And then you're arresting anybody who
speaks out, again.
Out about it. Yeah, yeah, somebody was arrested for holding a sign that said "Not my king" on it.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's just don't love it. Don't love it, man. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with some more news stories.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
And we're back. All right, Christina's got something to tell me.
Well, I want to tell you a lovely little story I read today about our favorite governor, Ron DeSantis.
Oh, gosh. Hopefully not future president Ron DeSantis.
Hopefully not, because about 50 migrants arrived by plane in Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, Wednesday, on flights paid for by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis that originated in San Antonio, Texas. He told them, basically, that there was going to be housing there for them, jobs, the whole thing, just to get them out and send them mm-hmm. as kind of a fuck you to sanctuary cities, basically landing a bunch of migrants there, being like, don't worry, there's going to be jobs and housing there for you.
Wow.
And just drop them
in
Martha's Vineyard.
God, I mean, I just feel like people like this, it's so cruel. It lacks like any amount of compassion or empathy for other human beings to do that, to trick somebody onto a plane.
I just don't understand how that isn't human trafficking. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
like,
I'm not,
you're sending people under false pretenses somewhere. It just feels, even if it's not criminal, like you feel it in your heart that that's icky.
No,
right?
Yeah. No, I mean, you would think so, but like, I don't know. I don't know, because it's certainly not something that I could ever sleep at night having done. But also, wait, hold on. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis?
Yep.
And he took them from San Antonio, Texas?
There's a lot here. Let me pull it up. Yeah, one flight took off from San Antonio and made a stop in Florida and South Carolina before landing in Martha's Vineyard. The second flight also stopped in Florida but made another stop in Charlotte, North Carolina. And so he colluded with Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
Of course, the two worst governors of all time. The two grossest governors. Great.
They did not alert any of the authorities or local people
Disgusting.
That they were coming. So you have like just a bunch of like these governors hatching a secret plot to send immigrant families like cattle on an airplane.
Oh, that is, it's disgusting what they're doing to those families and those individuals. And then also to put that kind of, without alerting anybody, to put that kind of strain or potential strain on the outreach, you know, programs that I'm sure are in Martha's Vineyard and the infrastructure there to make sure that those people, like, that's, it's so cruel. It's just cruel. It's gross.
They were basically like, they were approached outside of a shelter. Like they had just recently crossed the border in Texas and were staying at a shelter in San Antonio. They were approached outside a shelter and lured them into boarding the plane, saying they're going to be flown to Boston where they could get expedited work papers provided with food.
Oh,
so they didn't even fucking go to Boston. I can't understand how this isn't.
I don't know. It's
criminal.
I don't know. I mean, it feels like kidnapping, doesn't it?
It does.
Doesn't it? Because it's like, yeah, they were lured onto planes, told they were being taken, transported one place, and taken somewhere completely different. And you're also probably talking about a segment of the population that maybe speaks English as a second language or isn't as fluent. So that's extra disgusting.
Yeah, most of the arrivals spoke little to no English. Spanish-speaking high school students were pressed into service as interpreters.
That's wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I have
that's my outrage machine today. I read that this morning. I'm like, what with everything that's going on with all of the criminal activities and DOJ investigations for like the Trump machine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing. But I'm like, something like this, like where's any kind of criminal investigation or any consequences for these people?
Well, and I hadn't even heard about it. which means that people are not outraged enough about this. Like, I realize 24-hour news cycle is a lot and people are, have a lot on their plates right now.
Yeah.
But the fact that that's not bigger news, I mean, that's...
I do think, though, I think part of why it isn't bigger news is because there is enough of a segment of the population that doesn't consider migrants human
that's
beings.
That's disgusting. And you know what? You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And it's just... It's frustrating for me as well, having had the kind of religious background that I had, that it's these same people who will preach about God's love.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. And this is the least Christ-like behavior I've mm-hmm. ever seen. It's just disgusting. There is no other word for it.
Yeah. So here's hoping that there's something that comes of it, or at least that the news story picks up steam. And there are some kind of consequences for this. You know, I seriously worry about Governor DeSantis becoming the next
yeah,
Trump.
Yeah, and I would like to say that doing things like this will hurt his chances, because this is so disgusting and despicable to a certain segment of the population that I feel like people will come out strongly against Ron DeSantis. But unfortunately, like you said, there's also a large swath of the population for whom
immigration
like, yeah,
is a huge
is
thing. Yeah. That cheer on actions mm-hmm. like this. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's very scary too, because there was actually, I think I heard it on either Daily Zeitgeist or Behind the Bastards. One of those where they were talking to, or they had interviewed people who knew Ron DeSantis growing up, or like while he was like pursuing his political aspirations and things like that. And they said, they were like, oh no, you should be very afraid of Ron DeSantis, because he's, nobody likes him. He's a terrible person. He's
yeah.
a very bad person, but he's very, very smart.
Oh yeah. He's a snake.
Yeah.
He is a snake. And that's the thing, is that Trump showed where the cracks were.
Yeah.
A more intelligent person would be able to exploit those cracks extremely easily.
Yeah.
And that's who we need to be afraid of. Trump's an idiot, a self-serving
right.
idiot.
Yeah.
That's easy to spot. We've been able to see like all of his crimes happening in real time, but someone like Ron DeSantis could do real damage.
Yeah. I'm actually more afraid for the 2024 presidential election than I was for 2016. I'm
yeah.
more afraid because, like you said, that foundation has been built now.
Mm-hmm.
That base is there, and they are rapidly moving away from Trump, which on the
right.
surface is like good, but they're not moving away from him because they've seen the light. Like, they're moving
no.
away from him because he looks bad. So all you have to do is get somebody who looks a little better on paper.
And still espousing the same
right.
hatred, the same ignorance.
Yes. Yeah. They're just
yeah.
doing it in a slightly more respectable, in quotes, way.
Yeah.
You know? So that's horrible.
Right. Well, we do have hope, though, for the midterms. You saw that Lindsey Graham introduced that bill into the Senate to outlaw abortion.
I did.
And
yeah.
McConnell's like, shut up.
No, they actually kind of like that. Like, it's just
don't bring it up.
Shut up. No, because it's true. It's like if people across the political spectrum are like, actually
we like to have rights as women.
Yeah, and you know, also sometimes we get people pregnant that we don't want pregnant. So if we could get them not pregnant quicker, that'd be great.
That'd be great.
Yeah, it's really only a small and very loud group of mostly far right or religious extremists who are very anti choice.
Yeah,
so.
there's a lot of Republicans that have are running in midterms that have scrubbed their website
uh-huh.
of any kind of mention of abortion whatsoever. So we'll be interested to see. But
Lindsey Graham's an idiot. It's amazing.
I'm like, are you playing for our side, bro? Like, are you trying to help us out? Because it feels like it.
What's happening? What are you doing? Okay, so I have one last thing to talk about today, and that is, and I sent this to you when I first saw it because somebody did leak it. And when I tell you, I used to work for Disney.
I'm going to fucking cry.
I knew. I sent it to Christina because somebody had leaked the video of not just what's in the teaser, which is a very small amount, but like kind of the tail end of Halle Bailey singing Part of Your World. And it is stunning.
It's stunning. But
it's
then
so
you
beautiful.
See all the TikToks of the...
Oh, my God.
I'm going to cry just thinking about it. It makes me very emotional, and it should
yeah.
make everyone emotional. Seeing little black girls being so excited to see themselves represented like that in a Disney movie is just the joy. And you just realize like how much representation matters. And when people like to cry about woke Hollywood or whatever, I want you to watch a video like that with a little 4-year-old black girl who's like excited, has like, you know, a little red wig on and is like, she looks like me, you know. I don't understand. Well, first of all, mermaids aren't real, so the fact that they would even have a skin color is a moot conversation to have in the first place.
Okay, so what we're talking about, which I'm sure everybody knows, is that there is a group of people on the internet, again, a very loud group of people who are loudly complaining. And you can find it on every single video about this, including those uplifting ones. There will be one person in the comments is like, well, I just don't understand why.
It's always, I don't understand why.
I just don't understand.
You don't have to, and you can stay quiet about it. Just let people enjoy things.
Truly.
Karen.
Who are upset that The Little Mermaid is black. But the thing about that as well, so first of all, yes, of course, this is fantasy. It's the same thing. People are really mad that there are black characters in Game of Thrones, and they're really mad that there are
a black elf and
a black Lord of the Hobbit Rings. And what the fuck? You know, people are getting furious about this situation. And again, all of this is high fantasy. None of this stuff exists. I don't understand.
It's all made up.
It doesn't exist. But then in addition to that, the old one isn't going away. Like if you have a redheaded, you know, child that you want them to see a redheaded Disney princess, then pop in the old one cartoons. From the 90s. Like, I don't understand. It's not going anywhere.
And even with all the people crying woke right now, the representation is still not. I mean, everything is still the majority white. You can find plenty of things for you, believe me. Like, I never understood the outcry, and it's still not even. It's not balanced. No. Things aren't real life at all. So, you know, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. I mean, there's always one person in the comments who's like, well, how would you feel if we did this to one of yours? I kid you not. I have seen on TikTok in the comments, I have seen people say, what if we did an all-white cast of Roots?
I would love to watch that at you. That's what I think of that. Go and finance it and fucking make it then.
Truly.
Like, it would be hysterical.
What if
we did
an all-white cast of Black Panther? And it's like, first of all, you're being deliberately obtuse in like, sometimes race matters to a storyline and sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
It doesn't matter in Little Mermaid. And then outside of that, you're just fully ignoring the like century or more in Hollywood where we've just been casting white people as like non-white characters.
As like Persian or Chinese or Egyptian or
Jake Gyllenhaal was the Prince of Persia. So there you go.
Exactly.
And literally like 10 years ago, there was a movie. What was it? Gods of Egypt.
Oh, yeah. With Christian Bale.
And like Glenn Close or something. Oh, and it was Sigourney Weaver.
What is happening here? Well, didn't we talk about on My Worst Date where there were rumors that Julia Roberts was going to be Harriet Tubman?
Yeah. So I don't want to hear you complaining about this thing. And also, Halle Berry is she's so incredibly talented. The director of the film was like, once we saw her audition, there was really no choice.
It's beautiful. It's so beautiful.
Stunning. Yeah, it's really stunning. And then also, she looks like a Disney princess. Like,
yeah.
Her face, she's got a Disney princess face.
There's just some hateful people that will never see a black or brown person as a princess. There's hate in their hearts.
Yeah.
You know?
You're right. Well, I mean, they're going to force me to go see another live action Disney movie.
Oh, I'm seeing it 100%.
They're twisting my arm. I'm going to have to go.
You got my money.
Yeah.
That was my Disney movie growing up. Oh, I think I was like in second grade or something like that when I came out.
Yeah.
I got into a fight with a long-term friend of mine at that time, like long-term, like, you know, two grades.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Because she wouldn't let me play Ariel She made me play Ursula when we played Little Mermaid together. Oh. So then I never talked to her again.
Oh, I mean, honestly, valid reason.
Now as an adult, I'm like, Ursula's kind of the better part, but
truly, for real, like Ursula is incredible. I do wish that they had gotten, it would have been really rad to have seen a drag queen in that role.
Right. Yeah.
I know that that's been something that people have been really talking about, but I also really like Melissa McCarthy and I think she'll do a good job.
Yeah.
You know, so they're getting me back into the theater. So
absolutely.
Thanks, all you hateful people out there. Thanks so much. So thank you for joining me today.
Oh, of course. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. Do you want to tell the people where they can find you, follow you?
Yeah. Follow My Worst Date podcast. We've got Instagram. We've got TikTok. We got a secret Facebook group. You can listen to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. So that's the main place.
Yeah, if you like hearing us together, you can get a lot more of that over on that podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you all so much, and we will see you next time.
Rage on.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.